This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR. Now can you dig that, sucker?
This is Chris Vianney, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid TJ Wilson.
I invite this good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The epicenter of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me,
Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, post TNA Destination X. We are here, your favorite band of misfits. I'm Will, joined as always by Spugalicious.
Spugalicious?
Nothing from Spug. Omegalicious.
Never call me that again, ever.
Mace-alicious.
Will, this is not a fucking intro for Wrestle-licious, so shut the fuck up.
And of course, Tim-alicious.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And what's with all this delicious crap? Oh, my God. Well, there's a little bit of fallout that took place following OWW Radio last Tuesday night. We had a couple of WTR co-hosts get involved with OWW Radio in the form of calling in. It was a really interesting thing, and it led to a couple of further things. We're going to let Mace get into that a little bit later on tonight.
Promised cookies.
What was this about cookies?
We were promised cookies. We never got our cookies.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Got cookies on the dark side. We'll get into that in depth a little bit later on tonight. You're going to want to stick around, stay tuned, find out exactly what we're talking about and where it will be going. But first, before we start talking about tonight's Destination X pay-per-view, how many of you people tuned in listening right now after Impact on Monday and the replay on Thursday? How many of you Googled Dillagaff? That's my question. Mace, did you Google Dillagaff or did you, or you already knew what it meant?
I'm Australian. Of course I know what it means.
There you go. It's not an Australian term. It's a naval. Came out of the Navy. Will.
Jim.
Just a minute. I'll get to you in a second. Will, did you Google Dillagaff?
Nope.
You had Mace tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Omega, did you Google Dillagaff?
Did not have to. I have encountered the phrase before.
There you go. Spug, you knew what Dillagaff meant.
Do I look like I give a fuck?
That a boy. Now, you see, Tony Googled Dillagaff. At least he admitted it. Okay? And, of course, we got Maverick to thank for throwing the definition out of the Urban Dictionary up onto the chat room. Thanks, Maverick. By the way, really good episode of Running the Ropes this past Friday because, well, yours truly called in and lectured Maverick and Nick,
and basically gave them a bit of a schooling as far as professional wrestling goes. So I might do that again this Friday if I'm not working. So, you know, it might be worth tuning in to listen to Running to the Ropes if I call in. Because after all, let's face it, I did spike the ratings. It's true. It's damn true. Oh,
well,
wait a minute.
Good to hear somebody with some wrestling knowledge on that show for once, Tim.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Mace. I think maybe you and I should gang up and do an RTR invasion on Friday. You know, take it over and teach them how it's done.
Yeah, it could be organized.
I think we can. We should talk about that a little bit later on. Anyway, TNA, Destination X. Guys, TNA still taking strides in the right direction. They still have a long way to go, as this pay-per-view proved. In my personal opinion, it was in equal parts absolutely awesome and absolutely reminiscent of this time last year. Mace? We lost Mace.
Oh, no. So, he was doing so well, too.
Yeah, there's dropout one of the night. So we'll just go straight to you, Omega.
Wait, what?
We're going to you.
I heard that. I didn't hear what came before it, and I was waiting for Mace to finish.
Mace didn't even start.
Yeah, which is why I'm thrown off.
Oh, okay. So shall I just, like, leave you in limbo, and we'll go to Will then?
Oh, are you already going to me?
Yes, we're going to you, Will.
Wow. This is also such a great start.
Well, you guys deserve the fucking fail trumpet. Fine, well, fuck you. Fuck.
Yes.
There. At least you're paying attention for a change.
Yes. Sort of.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm busy trying to drain my ear. Fuck off.
Just, I'm trying to remember. The question was pertaining to, was I impressed or do I think TNA is making proper strides?
Well, like I said, it's almost equal measure. They're still making great strides, but at the same time, we still witnessed what they were guilty of this time last year.
The fact that they're still taping their damn shows, I don't get it. Look, the one thing that is holding TNA back right now, other than, you know, just pure retarded people in the front office, is that if you're going to compete with a live show, then you need to go live yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can look and see what the results were, because your tapings were held 3 weeks ago. Now, I'm not a fan of spoilers, and I'm also not a fan of TNA, as I've said time and time again. Is TNA making strides? Sure. Are they competition yet? They may be on the cusp, but if you really want to put it in Vince's craw and make it stick in the back of his head that there's somebody else in town, then you need to go live 9 to 11. I don't care if you still want to show the replay on Thursday, that's fine, but you need to go live. And go up against the big boy. Because
you need to go live all the time.
Yeah, because the only time... Look, I don't care if you go into a fight and get your ass whooped. But if you land a couple of punches here and there, sooner or later, you're going to be the one whooping ass.
Yep. Absolutely true. Now we'll try to go to Mace and see if his internet gets out again.
Is it still here? At least I hope so, anyway. Probably choppy as all hell. I think TNA are definitely making strides, but I think a lot of it comes from the people watching the product. I've noticed a lot of times people are just finding reasons to bash on TNA. They don't seem to care that their product has actually improved quite a bit since Bischoff and Hogan took over. They're just looking to nitpick at the smallest detail and fuck up. So, yes, I think TNA's doing great, but the fans need to fucking stop being such elitist assholes.
That was well said. That, I think, was very well said. Will, do you have anything to add now?
TNA's still got its strides to make before it's consistently good. I will say one thing, though, that their shows do... Since I watch everything recorded or on YouTube, I find more often than not, I'm not fast-forwarding through their stuff like I am either on Raw or SmackDown, so they're doing better on something.
Okay, there you go. Omega, do you have input now?
Now I have a little bit of input, sure.
Okay. Say no, just piss them off.
No, I can only get away with that so many times per episode, and I'm saving a couple.
That's what's got me nervous.
Oh, jeez. TNA, yeah, Spug mentioned it. I don't see the logic. Other than they just plain can't afford to book their arena on a weekly basis, I can see that, and I can understand it still being cost-effective to do 2 episodes a night. Whatever. The bigger problem, I think, is the same thing that we saw tonight, and I'm sure we'll get into it once we start talking about the pay-per-view, is that a lot of the writing still suffers from the same pitfalls. And, you know, if you know they're going to be taped, if you know there's going to be spoilers, you better make damn sure that that second show, the one that everyone's already going to know about a week ahead of time, is damn worth seeing. You've got to make, you know, I mean, the live ones, you know, they go all out for the live shows. I understand the concept. But the tape shows always end up a little bit lackluster in comparison. And those are the ones that need to be over the top. Those are the ones that you need to drive people in so that even if people say, well, I know what happens, they still want to see it.
Exactly. Now, with all of that being said with the preamble, let's take a look at tonight's Destination X pay-per-view. Starting off with the four-way ladder match, the number one contendership for the TNA X Division title is on the line. We've got Kazarian taking on Daniels, taking on Brian Kendrick, taking on the Amazing Red. This match was a great match to open the pay-per-view with. It was, you stop and think about it, in a ladder match, did it leave anybody wanting?
X Division ladder match, Spot Monkeys, it's pretty much what I was hoping for.
Yeah, so you had your spot for the Spot Monkeys. You had some good wrestling in the ring for the purists and the old timers or old schoolers. You had some great moments. You had another epic pay per view opener match. That's I think a great thing. Of course, the winner, no surprise to me at least, was Kazarian, Mace.
Yeah, like you said, Tim's a great opening matchup. Very high energy, very bouncing. These guys would have probably snorted a whole ton of crack before the show to make sure they could get that high. But, yeah, couldn't fault that match. Couldn't fault it at all.
Yeah, what did you think about it, Will?
I've seen better multi-man ladder matches, but it was a good way to really get the crowd into it and say, hey, this is our X Division. This is what we've got to offer.
Uh-huh. I just want to say to you, Streamer 14254, we're not shitting on X Division at all. We're talking about this was a fantastic opening match for this pay-per-view. And when I call somebody a spot monkey, I'm talking about the people watching the pay-per-view. I'm not talking about the wrestlers themselves. There are spot monkeys out there who only want to see the high spots and all of that stuff and all the jumping around and crap like that. So don't be thinking that I'm shitting on the X Division. You obviously haven't been listening to the program the last several weeks, and I think that perhaps you should pay attention to what I say when I'm talking TNA. That's okay. Now that that's clarified, there you go. Is there anything bad we can say about this opening match at all, Omega?
I would think the only thing I would really find fault was that this was not an Ultimate X as well. I mean, a ladder match I'm perfectly fine with, but to showcase the X Division at Destination X. With an X Division title shot on the line, why was this not Ultimate X? I mean, our tag match later on, I think could have done just as well as a ladder match. I think it would have been just as good as it ended up being. And it would have made a little bit more sense. And that's probably the only fault I could find here.
Will, did you have any negative feedback at all?
Just like I said, I mean, it was a good match. I've been spoiled by better ladder matches with more people in them. But, I mean, there were really no complaints about the match. I mean, we got some good spots. We got our spot monkey moments. Really, there's nothing wrong with it. Everyone got their fair share of time in the match. You got to see Red do his insane shit. Even Kendrick, for a few moments in the match, was the top guy in the match. So, nope.
Yeah, it's kind of a good ladder match when you're convinced at one point that somebody has just killed themselves, and Red did that for me.
He's good at that.
Times.
Yeah. So, like I say, great opening match. It was absolutely no surprise to myself or Mace that Kazarian won, because if you paid attention to last week's show, you'll know that we were the only two on the panel that actually predicted the winner.
Oh, I knew Kazarian was going to win, but I'm just a Kendrick mark.
Well, you know, there's a difference between being a mark for somebody and actually trying to be accurate with your predictions. I mean,
who wants to do that? That's no fun.
Well, there you go. If we want to do something like that, then we'll make two sets of predictions from now on. We'll give everybody our wish list and what we do believe truly will wind up happening. We'll start doing that from now on, just so you can get all of your man crushes in there, Will.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So looks like Spug won't be the only one here to have husbands.
Isn't feel that better, right, Spug-alicious?
Yeah, you feel better, Spug? Not so left out. He's ignoring us completely. Wow.
God damn it, I microphone muted.
Stop doing that.
The only thing I have to say until we get to the portion. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the only thing I have to say until we get to the portion of the show where I can speak because I did not watch pay-per-view is fuck Kansas.
Fuck Kansas. Apparently, you must be referring to the health care bill that passed on the U.S. Senate today. And,
no, I'm referring to the fact that Northern Iowa took out the number one seed overall, Kansas, yesterday in the NCAA tournament and fucked my bracket.
It's the other March Madness thing that you're all pissy about. Okay.
Oh.
Well, hey, who else wants to nuke the entire state of Michigan right now?
What happened in Michigan?
Did the Motor City Machine Guns lose?
No, they won.
Why are we bombing Michigan? I mean, I'm all for it. As long as we start in Ann Arbor and work our way across.
Well, because of the NCAA with March Madness and the brackets and stuff.
Michigan has nothing to do with it.
I'm just saying.
Kansas! Kansas, you asshole! Michigan.
Hang on a second. My point is, Spug, if you can go off on a tangent and talk about absolutely nothing to make any sense to me when we're talking on a wrestling show, we're supposed to be talking wrestling.
How do you not know?
Then I'll make absolutely no sense either.
I forget you're Canadian sometimes. Here I am talking to you like you're an actual person and not a Canadian.
Well, no. Now, you see, there's where you're wrong. Actual people are not Americans. Back to the pay-per-view. He said alienating three-quarters of the panel. Anyway, next up was a match that was made this past Monday, which was actually, you know, it was made the Tuesday previous to last Monday.
Oh, but don't get all technical with when they taped it.
They didn't, you know, it didn't become common general knowledge until last Monday. The Knockouts Championship, Daphne taking on the champion Tara, and in an impromptu prediction in the production chat, Most of us picked Tara to win. Who picked Daphne? Mace.
Yes, that would be me.
Yeah, and I made.
But then again, she didn't disappoint me in that match, though. I tell you what, she got some really good moves in there, and some stuff that looked like came straight out of the Kama Sutra. My new favorite Daphne move. The cunt punt.
The cunt punt. There you go. Well, you know, that match probably could have been given the time that Angle Anderson was given and be a very good match. Unfortunately, it wasn't very long, and I do believe that it might be Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff's doing shortening the Knockouts division's on-air, in-ring time. Is it's no big secret that they're no big fans, which is a crying shame, because having an actual women's wrestling division in a major televised wrestling program is a good thing. And if you're not into women who can wrestle, watch WWE Divas, you know. But, yeah, so Tara comes up the winner in this match, but Daphne sort of gets a tiny little measure of revenge. She steals Poison.
Finally, someone does something with that fucking spider.
Yeah, you know.
Yep, Daphne's going to cook it up with some rice and some decent flavoring and have it done.
And you know what? That
lunch
means
on Impact next week.
That means the feud continues. We get more Daphne, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, my question was whether or not she wanted a soda with that spider. So,
tastes like chicken. Nom, nom, nom.
Only if you do it right. It has to be grilled, not deep fried. So, yeah, fun match. Way too short. Moving on. The TNA Intercontinental / European, I mean the Global Championship. Guys, the one thing that I picked up from this match more than anything else was Taz trying to sell it as the same type of thing as the Intercontinental Championship in WWE, where it's like the stepping stone to the world, you know, the heavyweight championship title and all this other stuff. There's absolutely no history or prestige behind this title at all whatsoever. You know, it didn't come into existence until a couple of years after TNA started operations. But they're doing what they can to try to make the title mean at least as much as what the Intercontinental title in the WWE used to do. Opinions will.
Well, at least they're trying. TNA has needed a second-tier title for God knows how long.
Pretty much since they had it.
Yeah. And, I mean, as long as they've gotten rid of all the retarded global championship rules that Eric Young put out there, all they need to do is now change the belt design so it doesn't say Legends on it, and I'm okay with it.
Omega.
Pretty much agreed with that sentiment, but I don't see how they are trying with this belt. I mean, I half the time I forget that their global champion even exists, and it doesn't help when they get the shortest match on the pay-per-view.
Good point, Mace.
TNA Global Championship, otherwise known as the King of the Jobbers title. Really, there's not much to say about this one, except that we've got Magnus now instead of Brutus Magnus.
There you go. So the major thing to come out of the Global title match tonight was the name change.
that Rob Terry is a fucking hoss.
Soon, all TNA wrestlers will go by their last names only.
It's there you go.
Just a matter of time.
A Styles versus Abyss, Kaz.
Well, we've had Kazarian and Daniels for a while now.
Yeah, so there you go. Spike, you got any opinions about the global title?
You mean the Intercontinental title? Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah, well, thanks for paying attention.
I'm sorry. I was paying attention. I just figured I'd reiterate that. No, I really don't.
Okay, there you go. So Rob Terry takes on Magnus, and who picked Magnus for the win? Who predicted for a win by Magnus? Guys? Nobody?
I don't think anybody did.
Don't think so.
Everybody figured Rob Terry would retain. It wasn't a surprise. It was a good match again. It wasn't long enough. It was too short. It was, I would almost classify it as a semi-squash, just about.
That's exactly what it was.
You know, pretty much. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell Mav is putting in the chat, because, well, he's you know, a half-baked lunatic from the West Coast. I think he's in the San Francisco Bay Area, where all the other homosexuals in the United States live. Isn't that where all your gay people are, in the San Francisco Bay Area?
I don't know. I mean, I'm in Florida here, and we have a little place called Key West.
Okay, I don't know anything about Key West, but Matt says he's sober tonight, so he's not a stoned queer. He's just a queer.
So he's just proving how stupid he really is.
He's proving how stupid he really is. He doesn't need the drugs to help him out, as it were. So yeah, overall, would be a good match, except it's too short. How's that sound?
Yeah, and that's about right.
There you go. Up next, something that I'm surprised wasn't a little bit closer to the main event. The Ultimate X match. Number one contendership for the TNA tag titles on the line. Motor City Machine Guns taking on Generation Me. This match was definitely the match of the night, guys. Mace?
Yeah, very much match of the night there for this one. I know Omega pointed out in the production chat we had that it sounded pretty stupid to have these contendership matches on the pay-per-view. And believe me, I was agreeing with that every step of the way. So some people are trying to class this as a tag team match. I wouldn't class it as a tag team match at all.
Are you really going to take that shot at me? Do I have to kick you in the nuts?
Yes, Will, I am taking that shot at you.
Okay,
you
Nick.
Realize this. I'm sorry, the closest thing it resembles is a tornado tag format, which in itself is not really a tag team match, but yeah, these guys flipping around everywhere, and yeah, this match needed replays, something shocking.
Yeah, it was not a tag team match at all, Will.
Yeah, there's a little thing in there, it's called tagging. It's kind of essential.
Okay, did no one catch the part where I said I was talking about how the fact that the two teams worked as teams and they gelled, they actually seemed like they should go together, unlike most WWE teams, which are two people just put together saying, here, have a tag title.
And yet, look at who the TNA Tag Team Champions are.
Oi. Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later on. This match, definitely match of the night, in my opinion. Spug, I don't think you saw this one, did you?
I did not see any of the pay-per-view, so I'm a bad person to talk to.
Why, did you have to work or something?
I was busy building a dog pen.
Oh, I see. Well, there you go.
Is things that boring with a wife these days?
Uh-oh. Did you really go there?
I think I did.
I think you went there. He went there, Spug. I had nothing to do with it, really.
Oh, no, it's fine. No, we, you know, we had to rip down our old dog pen and rebuild it because starting Monday, I'll be back at work full time. I mean, I started this week, but I mean, full time on Monday. And my stepdad's going to New York, so he will no longer be here. So there won't be anyone to let out the dogs in the afternoon, and we cannot let the puppy in the house by herself for more than, you know, a couple hours at a time alone. So we had to have somewhere to put her, so we had to rebuild the dog pen and put her out back.
So now you have no reason to come home and say, who let the dogs out?
Oh, God. Oh, that came to mind, but something in my head said, no, I have too much taste. But damn it, I knew someone would make up for it.
Well, come on, you know, if he opens the door, you gotta walk in, Omega. Seriously, you do. Speaking about walking in, why don't you walk into this discussion about the Ultimate X match?
Oh, see, this is why I stay quiet. I don't have to talk when I stay quiet. No, I thought it was a fine match. There's a lot of really nice spots in there, just having absolutely nothing to do with tag teams, but the two teams did work together really well, and something I've noticed about WWE tag matches lately is that I rarely see any moves where the teams actually work together, you know, like a team. So this was refreshing to see a ton of combinations between the teams that I don't remember seeing before. So it was definitely a refreshing match in the least.
Really, really well done, absolutely. And this is the only match that I predicted wrong.
Oh, yes, Mace, the impromptu Shawn Michaels impersonation.
The impromptu Shawn Michaels impersonation? Oh, when they're all up on the ropes together, sweet chin music at the same time. Would you call that corny?
I don't know. I guess if we can have matches all the time where two men can go for cross bodies at the exact same time, it's possible that four guys can get super kick in their head at the same time.
Oh, there you go. You know, at least there was no Michael Shane involved, so.
That would be a little too obvious, I think.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So, but Will, your impressions of this match?
I liked it. Now bite me.
You liked it.
You've lost the support of Will.
Why? What's the matter, Will?
I don't know, I have nothing else to say.
Okay. Go ahead, Mace.
I think it's because I decided to have a little shot at Will and...
Oh, no, we're fine.
Not a tag match.
No, we're but cool.
While I have a moment, this Ultimate X match is probably the only match that makes me miss the six-sided ring. For some reason, the setup is just really annoying tonight. And they need the extra bounce of the ring.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll admit that the six-sided ring does make it a little bit more entertaining.
Visually appealing.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say more enjoyable because it was still a very enjoyable match. It just gives it more opportunity to be more entertaining. Definitely a different look to an Ultimate X match with the squared circle in there as opposed to the six-sided ring. But,
not really. Not if you saw the first two.
Well, yeah, okay. Bit of a point there, Will. But overall, very good match. Very happy with it. Only disappointment, on a personal note, was the fact that Motor City Machine Guns won. But both teams given a chance to do a really, really good, lengthy set of promos, give the ring crew enough time to set everything up. But they did a good job with their promos. Oh, come on. You didn't like the Hardy Boys kit line?
If I could insult separately,
or you'll have to talk to Spud to get it. But come on.
Lita also sold separately, but there's no surprise there.
Yeah, but she I heard that the version they have out's full of bugs. Kind of like Windows. Like Windows 7. It's buggy.
Oh, yeah, that bitch will fuck with your RAM every night.
Oh, God. Yeah, you have to increase your RAM? Anyway. You know, not much more to be said about this match. Not much more to be said before we go to our first break of the night, too, as a matter of fact, to tell you the truth. So why don't we do that? Let's take our first time out of the night. Everybody will listen to WTR Sunday night, looking at final wrap-up for TNA's Destination X pay-per-view. Stick around. We've got a lot more coming to you. We'll be back right on the other side of this quick little timeout.
I tell the fellas starting in calling. And the girls respond to the call. I have a pull my shout out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
I see the dance people, I don't fall for you. Billy Pond and get out. Get back, Gruffy. Bash, Gruffy.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up.
Shut up. For the trunk route parts.
Why do you think Rob Parks still do it? We waited forever to for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob. Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much. I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Right. I'm Rob Hunt, your godfather of tree, for whatever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Maverick here.
Professional, realist,
genius. You know, I've been hearing what those pricks on WTR have said about me, and you know what? I think it's out of jealousy that I've ran a clean show for as long as I have.
I'm basically giving them free publicity off of the internet, and all I get is...
Fuck Mav. Oh well, the hell with it. If you want an opinion that's realistic without so many four-letter words, then tune in to Running the Ropes. Every Friday, right here, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You see that? That's called professionalism, bitches.
This is Mace, the man who cannot cut a promo to save his life. Come check me out on Otaku Talk Live, where I geek it up with Spug and Omega. Tuesdays, 11 p.m, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now maybe the bastards have put me on the opening.
welcome back. WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we are in the middle of taking a look at TNA's Destination X pay-per-view. Hey, thanks for joining us on this free ride. I'm Casey Kasem. What the fuck? All right, who put that in my... God damn. Hi, guys.
Did you go away there for a second, Tim?
Did I go away?
Yeah.
Where'd I go?
Didn't sound like you.
Oh, who did it sound like?
Shaggy.
Shaggy? Shaggy who?
Can we just end this now?
Okay.
On the radio, you fucking Canuck.
Yeah, no, I know that. Just, anyway, never mind. Forget it. God damn it. Anyway. Where were we? Oh, yeah. So we finished off before the break with the Ultimate X match, Motor City Machine Guns winding up with a win. Now, the next match, here's the one that Omega just didn't want to accept the possibility that one of the payoffs for this match would be Eric Young getting the shit kicked out of him. And I told...
Yes, this was a total shock to me.
I said last week, watch, Nash, this is my prediction. Nash is going to turn, and the band is getting back together, and we're going to hear the words Wolfpack, and, you know, three of the four people involved in the match coming out with Wolfpack colors. Nash not getting in the ring at all. Finally gets tagged in, only to powerbomb his partner.
I didn't even know he could still powerbomb without tearing every muscle in his back.
Well, I'm thinking that's why he wasn't in the match previously. Just to make sure that he didn't. So, no big, huge surprise, except for the fact that Hall was actually able to fit into his tights, even though the vest doesn't look like it fits anymore. Omega?
I'll let Omega go.
It looks like some leftover costume from Toys R Us circa 1998.
Mace?
It just was a match where the fucking blind, deaf, and dead man up in the 15th row saw this one coming.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I really didn't think Hall looked all that bad for once. He looked, I don't know, like he could actually go out there and not be drunk. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think that he found the Just for Men in the store in the supermarket where the Just for Men were was.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, the guy, he wasn't hanging out of his tights. He actually looked to be in shape. He was talking coherently. He was actually trying to wrestle. It was like, wow, where'd this Hall come from?
AA.
The time machine.
I like Omega's answer better. Omega, you get 2 points for that one.
Excellent.
There you go. I don't know if anybody else heard it, but so why don't you repeat it? Where did this Scott Hall come from?
AA.
There you go.
Let out just in time for the show. So, okay, no big surprise, the Wolfpack's grand master scheme finally unraveled to beat up Eric Young.
Well, I told you that Eric Young getting beat up was just a bonus. And then, you know, I said to you and I said to Alan Wojcik, OWW Radio, we were having a chat too, and I said to him, you know, how many people have brought up the fact that Eric Young screwed Nash like a year and a half ago, and
wait,
nobody talked about
hold
it.
On. How the hell did Eric Young screw Nash?
You don't remember?
During the whole World Elite, I believe.
Oh, right. Okay, see, I was thinking even farther back to the whole Scott Hall no-showing Eric Young taking his place scenario. Okay, so I went too far back. My bad.
Yeah, that's not exactly where it was. But, yeah, no, so, you know, I brought that up, and people were telling me all week, what are you talking about? Why the fuck would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he turn on Eric Young?
I mean, I was just convinced. I mean, they were best friends, man. They bros. You know, they wouldn't do that.
He did it for The Rock. He did it for the people.
So, but yeah, so Hall and Nash are now big money contract players in the wonderful wacky world of TNA, and no surprise to me, and of course after the fact other people are saying it's no surprise to them.
Oh, I voted for Hall and Waltman for a reason. They weren't going anywhere, but I mean, okay, so I didn't call the swerve, but I knew they'd win, so
So there you go.
Hey, I'm just glad we got to hear some old Wolfpack music.
Dum, 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 dum.
Remixed and without lyrics to avoid copyright.
There you go. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. What does this mean? It means another round of people bitching and griping that TNA is trying to look like WCW circa 1997.
Maybe, but do you hear how over Scott Hall is, despite how over out of shape he is? That's a guy you could job every single night, and he'd still be over more than half the roster.
Oh yeah, no, you know, no doubts from this end. Scott Hall being a little bit of an older performer, as it were, still getting the pops. Omega.
Well, it's no surprise. I mean, name recognition will get you a long way, especially when you're someone as pushed as Scott Hall was in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. He was interactive. Anyone interactive with the crowd is destined to be memorable. I mean, the same way like Conan. You know, Conan was interactive with the crowd. Yeah, you know, he wasn't what you would call a major star at any point whatsoever, but he was there. And people really reacted to him because, well, they could play along with him. And Scott Hall brings the same thing.
There you go. Mace.
Yeah, pretty much like Omega said, you know, it comes down to crowd interaction. Plus, you also got to go and take a look at Scott Hall TV on YouTube.
Yes.
That's some funny shit right there.
Oh, can, while you're talking about the Scott Hall YouTube thing, can you throw that link up in the chat room? So people know where to go.
Huh?
You said Scott Hall's on YouTube?
Yes, he is. Scott Hall TV.
Yeah, Scott Hall TV on YouTube.
Look
that's
it up.
So just go to YouTube and
Google
look
it.
He's too goddamn lazy to type it out into the chat room, you people.
I didn't even know Scott Hall could ever be sober enough to use a camera.
Oh, no, it's very shaky camera work.
I would assume that somebody else other than Scott Hall would use it.
Nope, it's Scott Hall using it.
Scott Hall with a handheld camera.
Oh, my God, that's got to be real shaky.
It really isn't all that shaky, and the shit's hilarious.
You know what would be cool? Bring Scott Hall up to Calgary for a wrestling show and have him in the ring, and because it's a small independent thing, that's not going to be televised or anything like that, have him show up as Razor Ramon, and then get my buddy Rick to show up as Razor Ramon too.
Oh, you know Rick Wagner?
I happen to know, Rick Titan very well. He used to be one of my, he used to actually be the head doorman in the last nightclub I DJed in. Well, the second last.
Anyway, moving on.
I was just thinking that might have been kind of interesting. But there you go. The winner, Scott Hall and Sean Waltman, thanks to the swerve by Kevin Nash, predicted by yours truly, that Omega just refused to buy.
Can't believe it, man. I can't believe it.
You got smoked. We should start
painting the target on the ring for everybody else to hit for the rest of the night.
Yeah, except for the main event. That was good. Who was it who said that Bishop should tell the guys in the back that they get a bonus in their paycheck if they get pinned right?
That
where,
would be me.
Right where the outline was. I thought that was good. That should happen at least once.
And see, until they changed the mat, I was waiting for someone to get choke slammed right in that spot.
Well, I thought we were going to come to it once or twice.
I would have thought just for the humiliation, someone would have just dragged them over and laid them out right in the line.
It would have been funny. That's what Angle should have done, maybe, with his match.
Maybe.
There you go. But, yeah, moving on. So we have the TNA X Division Championship up next, Doug Williams versus Shannon Moore. And did this provide anything out of away from what anybody might have expected?
Considering the fact I completely forgot this match was on the card when I was running down the results to JT Jean, no.
Yeah, Mace?
Really, Will? You're not going to complain about no Chaos Theory suplex?
I forgot about the match. You think I'm going to have the time to complain about that? I think if the move I wanted to see wasn't in there, all right, that would be a little grievance. The fact that I forgot the match happened, that's a bigger problem in itself.
Very, very true. And Doug
and
Williams' little promo.
It has nothing to do with being the Scott Hall of WTR.
And yeah, Doug Williams' little promo afterwards about how it's supposed to be about catch-as-catch-can wrestling and not this high-flyer stuff. Yeah, way to try and kill the division they're building, Doug.
Yeah. So make him, they're making him into a real heel champion, are they?
Yeah, I suppose that's the purpose. I'm not really going to complain about drinking the Kool-Aid.
There you go. Omega.
I'm wondering why he's not up for mugging charges at this very moment, actually. About the only thing this match really informed me of is Shannon Moore is still dressed like a Mad Max reject, but other than that, not a whole lot went on here. So, I will agree with Mace's sentiment. I mean, you spend two really, really solid matches earlier on building up the X Division, and then you have the X Division champion tear the whole division down and basically force his opponent to dress and drag for some reason, which just confused me.
Okay, there you go. All right. So, Doug Williams winning, Shannon Moore getting the lecture afterwards, being told he doesn't even deserve to have the title shot, yada, yada, yada. And we move on. The World Tag Team Championship, Matt Morgan and Hernandez versus Beer Money. A lot of people figured the split would happen during this tag team match. We're talking about the split between the tag team champions, Hernandez and Matt Morgan. I stuck to my guns. I said, no, the champs are going to retain over Beer Money. And sure enough, this is what happened. But throughout the entire match, it's anything you can do, I can do better, Mace.
Well, it was said by some other place that Rock was commenting to us throughout the entire night. This was basically a promo between Matt Morgan and Hernandez the entire bloody match. Personally, I hate the idea of splitting up this tag team because it seems every time they get two big guys, put them in a tag team, they go around destroying the entire place, get the belts, they turn around and go, oh, well, now it's time to split them up. Well, you know what? Fuck that. Have a dominant tag team for once in your fucking life. The Road Warriors were dominant. The Steiners were dominant. Why are you not allowed to have that type of tag team in this day and age?
Because it's too awesome. And as a result, well, they gotta just split them up.
See, I was waiting for them to get an actual tag team name, like a Spanish DNA or something.
There you go. So, Omega, your thoughts?
I would have called this the obvious swerve of the night if Nash hadn't been wrestling. I'm actually surprised that they're keeping the belts on them, and that's pretty much the only surprise in this match. You know, I'm kind of with Mace here, is that they keep building up these big monster tag teams and just break them up out of nowhere. I mean, look how long Beer Money's been going on. Look how long we've had the Motor City Machine Guns now. You know, and there's nothing, you know, so nothing is wrong with hanging on to a tag team long enough to actually give them credibility. You don't have to put them together just because you want a feud between them later on by splitting them apart.
Yeah. Will.
So this is a good way to make Beer Money look like shit. gee, I actually wish they would have stayed off TV. I mean, Jesus Christ, you had Morgan and Hernandez butting heads the entire match, and Beer Money still couldn't win. They were getting beat up the entire match, despite having a legitimate claim to one of the best tag teams in wrestling today. They got beat up by one man, essentially, through the whole match, and still lost. Really? Jesus Christ, fuck that.
So, there you go. Anybody else have anything to say about this?
Yeah, I got one last thing. Hernandez, learn to fucking sell, you dumb fuck.
Yeah,
seriously,
no kidding.
There's a point there where he's taking a beating, he's holding his head, wobbles into the ring, all of a sudden, drops his hands, bolts like a fucking freight train, jumps over the ropes, rolls back in the ring, hits the fucking big move, 1, 2, 3, over, and then, oh shit, I gotta sell again.
Yep, that's what I'm talking about. Make Beer Money look like shit.
Yeah, exactly. It made Beer Money look worse. It made Hernandez look like a fucking moron. And seriously, some of these guys, for guys that are competing on a worldwide and what is considered the quote-unquote top level in wrestling, they keep forgetting their fucking basics like selling.
There you go. I think that's pretty much all we need to waste time on with that. So there you go, Matt Morgan and Hernandez getting into each other's faces after the match. And here it is, the tag team champions are going to have matches against each other. And I guess we'll see where that goes.
Oh boy, does anyone else enjoy singles matches for tag titles?
I don't.
Because that looks exactly where this is going. Didn't Morgan walk off with both belts after the match?
Did he? I wasn't paying attention.
Guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, maybe. So, next match on the card tonight, Kurt Angle versus Mr. Anderson. Anything special about this match?
Anderson's t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Mace.
Yeah, this could have happened on Impact. This wasn't anything really eye catching.
Yeah, and the only thing I've got. Sorry, go ahead, Mace.
And what's even more, even after doing the whole back and forth, Angle finally getting the win, making Anderson bleed, Anderson cuts a promo that just screams, "We're going to finish this at lockdown." I want to buy his t-shirt, though.
Yeah, just get, like Will said, get the duct tape and a Sharpie. And black out where it says Mr. Anderson's name.
Well, see, I want to know what the hell happened between the two of these guys in this match. Yeah, the storyline going into it was terrible, but Anderson is not so bad that he can't even be carried to a good match by Kurt Angle. And this match was just boring as shit.
Well, explain to me how Anderson gets decimated at the end of the match and then is able to get up and cut a promo on Kurt, so we have the match rematch already scheduled for lockdown before anything's announced.
Because TNA is high on him, that's why.
Did you not hear my rant?
It's because he has
to learn how to fucking sell.
Yeah.
Anderson had the microphone. That's his green ring. You know, that gives him his power.
That gives him his power, yeah. Okay, is there a chance we're going to be able to go through one show without a Lord of the Rings reference?
No. That was Green Lantern, you fuckhole.
Okay, there you go. Well, it was shit. Anyway, I've got Lord of the Rings playing on pay TV right now.
But okay. I don't have to. Maybe that's where the reference came from in your head.
Yeah, that's where it came from in my head. But it's not costing me anything, so it doesn't matter much. I mean, I get it free because of the deal that I have with the guy that works with the satellite company.
So, yeah, Kurt Angle wins. Mr. Kennedy, oh, Anderson, sorry, is allowed to yap on the mic afterwards. And that just made a pretty slow match even more boring. This thing, my God, it was way too long. And seriously, it could have put people...
It nearly did, actually. I'm not joking.
I wanted to take a nap.
What was that, Mace?
I wanted to take a nap.
Oh. Oh, yeah, you were making lunch and then you wanted to take a nap right afterwards.
Yep.
That's right. I'm falling asleep just talking about it, so let's move on to the main event and get this thing over with. Kurt Angle versus Mr. Anderson sucked. Round two better be better. That's all I can say. Now for the main event, TNA World Heavyweight Championship. AJ Styles versus Abyss, and what a fucked up non-finish this was.
I don't even know if there was a finish to this one.
Well, that's
the referee
just
didn't rule anything. They just sort of stopped the match and made no reference to who goes over.
Yeah, all we heard was Flair yelling really loud, wait a minute, or something like that. Wait, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's Ric Flair. When is he not yelling loud?
Don't woo me! I'm trying to be a heel, damn it!
So, yeah, the match itself wasn't all that bad. I mean, there's a bit of predictability into it, but it's just, you know, I don't know if you can say Russo had anything to do with it, but it smelled very Russo, the booking. I mean, here comes Flair and he's spraying mace into everybody's eyes, and then he gets mace sprayed into his eyes, and
just to clarify, that's the, like, pepper spray. I don't actually spray at anybody.
Not even going there.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah, not even going there, especially after that chat that we all had about wet babies.
Oh, I'm not...
Nobody ask. Nobody ask.
Yeah, super inside joke, and we don't want to give you the punchline. Anyway,
I don't think anyone wants to know it.
Yeah. Abyss chokes. Was it a choke slam or a back black hole slam?
It was literally a choke slam.
Choke slam, and AJ through the ring, like,
yeah,
literally right through the ring. AJ's out cold. He can't continue. The bell goes. What the hell is going on here? Hogan comes out with the belt, hands it to Abyss. Flair comes out in the wheelchair. Wait a minute. No. Whatever he fucking said. Blah 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 blah. Confusing as hell, made no sense. Was this an effort by TNA to force you to tune in tomorrow night for their live show to see what's going on?
Yes. Fucking obviously.
Jeez, I didn't get that impression in the least. It just came off as, oh, okay, Abyss still looks tough, AJ still has the belt, no, we're going to pretend this was one big triumph, even though absolutely nothing was accomplished. Except we've proven that Abyss's chokeslam can break any furniture or any staging that it is performed on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically what it was. It was a way to make Abyss look strong, but still keep the belt on AJ. And really, if you're going to make a guy look strong, why not just have him kill everybody through use of furniture breaking?
Well, that's the idea now. Abyss can create abysses with his chokeslam.
I think this was more a case of oh shit booking. Because you've got the lockdown match next month between AJ and the Pope. And they didn't... I don't think they really thought, oh, what a... about this match with Abyss. How are we going to keep his character strong while keeping AJ the champ? Let's just throw a random clusterfuck together. It works for WWE.
There you go. So, like I say, it's a pay-per-view that in equal measures has taken long strides, and in equal measures give the same clusterfuck that we saw last year. You know, based on the last three matches alone, throwing out the
Waltman, Hall, Nash, Young thing. The last three matches really dragged the pay-per-view down. It really did. I was all prepared after the first three matches to say that this thing was definitely deserved an A. But right now, my vote, guys, C+.
It's a D+ on this one. First half of the show was good, but the second half was woefully bad.
It's kind of strange. If I'm giving a letter grade, it's got to be curved, because I know on TNA it's always going to be a strong open and a very weak finish. So this was pretty much par for the course. I'd give it a C+ on the strength of the X Division alone.
Will,
I'll give it a C, because up until after Hall, Nash, Waltman, everything just sort of started falling apart and left you scratching your head going, what?
A lot of questions that didn't need to be raised were raised. There was absolutely no reason for it. Like I said, Anderson, just not worth what we got. It was a drag down after the TNA World Tag Championship. They should have possibly switched those two matches and put the Tag Team Championship as the semi-main event. I don't know. Maybe that would have helped see Angle Anderson differently in my eyes, but I could be wrong. Mace?
To be honest, the only real change I would have made was to switch the ladder match with the Ultimate X. Other than that, the card placement is pretty much what you would expect from TNA. And if they decide to try and change it around, then you'd have Angle going, but I should be somewhere near the top. Yeah, whatever. Don't care.
There you go. Will.
It was, felt like just another par for the course TNA pay-per-view. Apparently Lockdown, from what I've heard, though, is supposed to be one of their big four or whatnot, so we'll just see whatever happens for the next, I don't know, week and a half? No, not week and a half, 4 weeks.
For the next 4 weeks until we get locked down. It's roughly 4 weeks away, I do believe. But there it is. Omega, any final comments on this before we move on?
We had an Ultimate X match, we had a ladder match, and nobody had the thought to book RVD on this card.
Come on, you know it's going to be RVD versus Sting next month.
I know, but that's not a match that can showcase RVD. I mean, Sting is still amongst that geriatric club that TNA seems to lust over these days.
True, but if you were to include RVD in any of the X Division matches, that's basically putting him into a mid-card spot. That we know RVD is at least a main event player, so yeah, it's sort of fucked up booking.
Completely, and I have to admit that I'm looking forward to Impact tomorrow to hopefully find out what they're going to try to do to make some sense out of this.
Yeah, well, that's been the thing with TNA, though. Their impacts have been getting better, but it seems they can't transition that over into their pay-per-view.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to a good episode of Impact tomorrow, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to be doing a really good live show right after a live pay-per-view, something that we made mention of the other night, I do believe. So, that being said, we're going to take our second time out of the night and come back. We're going to have a little talk about Eric Bischoff, some WWE news, a little bit more TNA news later on coming up. We've also got our quick hits. And when we come back from the break, we're going to go straight to Mace and talk to him about Wrestlelicious. We'll be back right after this.
you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VOLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
The night where boyhood dreams come true.
Wait a minute! Michael Sims, he got it! He got all of it! Michael's got all of it! Michael's gonna cover it! Five! Two! Yeah!
The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels!
The night where new eras are born.
Michael's going for another kick! Awesome! He got it! Chris Dugger! Mike Tyson in!
Torches are passed.
He's hooking up just what he is. The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's hooking up. I don't believe it. Oh, dropping a big leg. Over for the cover. He got it. Unbelievable.
What will happen this year at WrestleMania? Find out the night before the granddaddy of them all on Wrestle Talk Radio on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Go! If you close your eyes, you're right. And make it two, three fields. Drink you never live in scars, never healed. In the darkness, light will take you to the other side.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Things go better when you unmute your microphone, don't they, Spug?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now that we're finished talking TNA pay-per-view, you can actually start talking about things tonight.
I guess. I'm still curious as to what the hell this fallout from the WrestleLicious thing was. Because the moment you started talking about it, I'm like, oh, great, I got to issue a public apology again. Which I'm doing excellent at doing, by the way.
Well, it was kind of hilarious, and Mace and I were getting a big chuckle out of it, because when I told Mace, you know, I'm going to start bringing this up so we can talk about this, because I found out something after the fact that Mace told me, that Rock told me before Mace told me, if that makes any sense at all whatsoever. Anyway, Tuesday night, OWW Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with your hosts Nick Anthony and Alan Wojcik. Had, what's the guy's name?
Jay Vargas, I think. He was the guy that used to be in GLOW.
No, it wasn't Jay Vargas. It was Johnny C., who's the ring announcer slash backstage liaison slash producer of WrestleLicious formerly working on the Glow product as well. He's a producer on Glow.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's who we had on, and they initially told me that, well, you know, we're just gonna talk to them, and we're gonna try to get some points across. We're not gonna attack them. 30 seconds after he gets on the phone, Alan Wojcik says, "I'm sorry, I can't do this," and just went straight for the jugular. And then they opened the phone lines.
Really.
It was such a bad idea, too.
Somebody told Spug, you got to call in. Big mistake, okay? Anybody involved with this fucking network, don't tell Spug to call anybody. Unless it's CB radio and he's drunk and he's going to get a pack of smokes. And somebody else is driving. Because you
I was drunk last night. You missed that.
I didn't miss it, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh no! Oh, I have a new Spug drunk story for the end of the show.
Okay.
Boy.
So you called in and you laced into this guy. You just like tore a second strip off the fucker. I mean, Alan went up one side. You went down the other. Go ahead.
I couldn't help it. I tried. At first I got the, from Nick Anthony, I got to be nice, and I was trying so hard to be nice. And then the guy made the single solitary mistake. He tried to legitimize this softcore pornography as wrestling, and I was like, alright, that's it. And I just had to go off.
And then after that, Mace called in.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, Mace, all right. To give you a fair recollection there, Will and Tim, I was the blunt force trauma. Mace was the dressing on the wound.
Good Lord.
I like to put it as interview ninja. Sneak up from behind and slit the fucker's throat.
He really was.
Well, I decided I'd poke holes in this guy's argument so badly that he was stuttering and had no idea how to answer to anything I had to say. And I must say, it was a stroke of brilliance on my part.
It kind of reminded me of a neurosurgeon and a meatball surgeon from like a MASH unit. Don't read anything into this, but Spug was the meatball surgeon.
Oh, no, I was blunt force trauma. That's what I was. It was aptly put by Mace on a Talk to Talk Live later. I was severe blunt force trauma.
Yeah,
or as you'd like to put it, Triple H with a bloody sledgehammer.
Very much so.
But yes, the story does not end there, though.
Oh, no.
Being the person that I am, always go try and fill some time. I'm always on Facebook. I decided, for a laugh, I'd go and add Wrestlelicious to my Facebook just to see what they have to say about their own product. They were talking about the interview from OWW. Like, they had the bit promoting it and everything. Then there was this guy afterwards who was ripping the shit out of Nick and Alan about how they did the interview, how it was an attack on this guy, they shouldn't do it, they're only wrestling fans who live wrestling all the time and have no life, rah rah rah. So I thought I'd do the nice thing and come in and defend not only OWW, but the Wild Talk Radio Network in general, and say that not all the fault is on our side of the fence. It was also on Johnny's side of the fence with his very defensive and very anti-wrestling fan defense that he put up to these guys. What I did not know was that
a former GLOW wrestler by the name of Little Egypt also has a hand in what goes on in Wrestlelicious. I did recently hear her on the Pro Wrestling Rewind with Andy and Mike, and you know, she was nice and fair about everything that she said. She actually contacted me directly trying to find the archive to the OWW interview. So, of course, me being me and being the nice guy that I am, don't let it fool you people, I'm actually a nice guy at times, I was able to talk to Rock, get the archive link for the show, and gave it to her. From there, she has sent me quite a few messages back talking about the sort of comparison between the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling and wrestling. So she's been educating me on the product and trying to get it, well, trying to get me to see it from a different point of view, which, as you'll see in an upcoming From the Mind of Mace column that I'm currently writing, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to try and drop the wrestling portion of my thought process and try and view this as somebody watching a show like How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory, something along those lines, because they are toting Wrestlelicious as an action comedy. So, yeah, so that's pretty much where the story ends at this point. I've got a feeling that once I put up my column, I am actually going to send a copy to Little Egypt and see what she has to say on the subject, and who knows what will come of that.
Yeah. So
that's,
there's a good chance that we just might have Little Egypt on WTR Sunday night.
Yes, well, if there's anything that I've learnt from Tim, it's sell, 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 promote, 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 shill, shill, shill.
Gee, you make me sound like some kind of sensei or something like that.
No, I've been hanging around you too long, Tim, and I just happen to pick up some of your more annoying nuances.
You mean the way that I talk about, you know, making sure that you catch OTL Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network?
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Yeah, and how is that annoying when you're on the fucking show, dumbass?
Because we have to listen to it all the time.
I don't do it that often. Do I look like the Big Mush?
I don't know, because I've never seen the Big Mush. I've only heard his voice for about 2 seconds before I turned off the stream.
Talking about the spam all the time, and not letting Blade do any talking at all, because I'm too busy falling in love with my own voice. And look at this, I'm masturbating. Well, I would masturbate if I had a penis, but, you know, that's the Big Mush. Mayhem.
Basically, what y'all did was gang-raped someone from Wrestlelicious.
Well, and it wasn't one of the girls. That's the problem, Will.
I'd say more Spug and Nick did that. Alan actually cracked it after about 2 or 3 minutes into the interview, where Johnny said that you know nothing about wrestling, and Alan's been covering wrestling for over 10 years.
Yeah, Alan was all up because he was listening to you and just totally ignoring Alan completely.
Okay. But then again, like I said, I was like a ninja. Slit the motherfucker's throat.
Alan's like, mention the fact that you're a worker. And I did. And, you know, of course, you know, his tone changed completely once I said something about it.
Yeah, actually, he got less defensive, and he started to, figuratively speak, suck your dick a little bit.
Just a little bit. But when I don't care. You could call that a drama. I don't give a fuck. But the moment that you even consider putting that kind of crap in a wrestling ring, you gotta think about the hardcore fan base that you're gonna offend. Because that product is utter garbage.
Well, I have never seen Wrestlelicious, and I don't ever want to see Wrestlelicious. Everything I heard, fucking totally stupid.
Well, he was amazed. He was amazed. We were talking about it because they show it on Fox Sportsnet here.
Really? They went from TNA to WrestleLicious?
Well, WrestleLicious has only been out for a little while. But they show it on Fox Sports here, and I'm like, you know, and I was telling him about some of the stuff that you see in the censors, and I'm like, dude, I have on closed captioning because I'm deaf in one ear, and so I need the closed captions on so I can kind of pay attention to what they're saying. And I'm like, you would be amazed at the crap that goes on, you know, that they say in the closed captioning. Every other word is a beep. And he's like, oh, I see the scripts. I'm like, you may not see the ones that make it the final air then. Because that's utter garbage.
Now, the one thing that I will be bringing up in from the Mind of Mace when I talk about WrestleLicious again is the girls that are in it. Like, we've all heard Lacey Von Erich is in it as herself. But what they tell you, you've got Daphne in there as Draculetta, Madison Rain as Amber Lively, you've got Serena Deeb from the Straight Edge Society as Webmaster Page Web. You got Becky Bayless as Brooke Lynn. You got Mercedes Martinez, great independent women wrestler, WSU champion, if I remember correctly, as Maria Toro, as a Spanish stereotype. Like, it's not like they're using any girl they've just picked up off the street. They're taking really good top women's talent in the world and putting them in these really over-ridiculous gimmicks that if they turned around to the girls and said, look, put your own spin on these things, they would come up with something fantastic. But they're putting them in these real cookie-cutter, over-the-top 1980s gimmicks. And this is something out even to Little Egypt, because she asked me to take a look at GLOW, and it's pretty much WrestleLicious back in the 80s. That stuff like that was good in the 80s, because that's where the wrestling business was. Today, it's something completely different. And to try and put that formula into today's wrestling is not going to go over, even with a casual, like, channel flicker.
Yeah. And he didn't seem to get the point that if they aren't going after wrestling fans, they shouldn't do what they're doing, pretty much market it towards wrestling fans.
Yeah, pretty much. But by the time I got on to point this out to him, he was, I could tell in his voice, he was fed up of talking to us.
Yeah.
And to have a question like that so late in it, if I was probably a bit earlier in calling in, then we probably would have got a better reaction and probably even an explanation out of him about why it is that they're doing this. Hopefully through my correspondence with Little Egypt, I might be able to find out something a bit more about the product than I would in the time that I got to ask these questions to Johnny. Because Little Egypt is very responsive to people, always willing to give you examples and explain things. And it's going to be good getting information out of her about not only WrestleLicious, but the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which I wasn't able to see because, well, there's no internet back then, and I live in Australia.
There you go. That's how that is. So, well, this might wind up being interesting if you convince Little Egypt to come on, and I know that Spug won't attack her.
I'll be nice. I used to watch GLOW when I was a kid, man.
So there you go. There's no reason not to be nice. Exactly. That's not what I'm worried about. So, moving on. Pay attention to the website. We'll let you know if and when she agrees to come on. Because it might happen right here on Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night. That being said, guys, Eric Bischoff just recently this past week bragged about getting a $50,000 paycheck from WWE for sales of his book, Controversy Creates Cash. Immediately following that, WWEShot.com reduced the price of his book to $1.98 from, what, $20? Or $50.98 or whatever it was?
That's
WWE. WWE shop pimp slapped the bitch.
That's funny.
I thought it was funny. With the paperback is still selling for $4.98. Now, that's on WWEshop.com. You know, Eric Bischoff responded to it. It's a four-year-old book, and they're bringing more attention to it. Great. I'll get even more money.
Yeah, because, you know, you're really going to sell that many copies at $1.98.
Oh, yeah.
Well, $1.98 for the hardcover, that's the break-even price. $4.98 on the paperback, you're making profit. You're much of a margin, but the margin's there.
That's hilarious.
Hey, at least it'd outsell the Hulk Hogan book.
This is true. This is true. You know, all right. We seem to be sputtering along.
Uh-huh.
And Monday night, I gotta say, I was actually impressed with Raw.
You were impressed with the three matches where only one of them had any kind of a finish, but they all had interference?
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's set up to WrestleMania, and we all know what Raw and SmackDown are going to be like. They're going to highlight the matches that are going to take place. They're going to make sure that all those guys that are going to be at Mania are going to be involved somehow. What I was impressed with on Raw was the fact that, yes, they shilled Stone Cold Steve Austin, but it wasn't over the top, one. And two, the segment with Hart and Vince, I have to say, Bret's looking a little rusty.
You think? No way. Really?
I would expect him to have ring rust as far as wrestling is concerned. But, dude, you couldn't talk well before. Now it's just bad.
Well, don't forget, he did suffer a pretty bad head injury.
I'm not talking about actual speech, Tim. I mean, he wasn't that great of a talker before. He wasn't on the Ric Flair level of talking.
Well, not a lot of people are.
He wasn't that great with the mic. And now it's just, it seems so forced. Like, he's trying to be mad, and he's trying real hard to get into this. And it's almost like it's too much of a personal angle that he's having trouble, you know, getting past that.
Uh-huh.
But
anybody
still,
else have any comments, what Spug's talking about?
I kind of agree, actually. The bit where it was like, I finally get to say Vince screwed Vince, it felt forced, and there was like, it's like he couldn't get across that he might actually mean it. You could just tell, oh, he's just saying it because he could say it.
Yeah, it did feel a little set up, don't you think?
It felt very forced. You know, I will say, though, I'm really looking forward to WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to WrestleMania. There may be, like, one or two matches on that card where I'm like, eh. Other than that, I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be an awesome pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's a nice thing about WrestleMania this year. It is shaping up to be it's extremely solid on paper, and all now it's just how well are they going to perform at the actual show.
Yeah. Go ahead. I heard it.
No, I was reading something.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, no, you know, who's not looking forward to WrestleMania this year? I mean, they've got the thing laid out absolutely wonderful, and they're going step by step, unlike last year where they were scrambling literally right up to the last minute.
Oh, yeah, by the way, the Intercontinental belt still isn't being defended this year.
Yeah, and that's my biggest gripe with WrestleMania right now. They're trying to push Drew McIntyre as this fucking Vince McMahon's chosen one. And, all right, so he fails Money in the Bank. Fine, whatever. Shouldn't he say, all right, I'll go to WrestleMania and I'll defend my championship because I'm the Intercontinental fucking champion? Sorry, that's just a gripe I've had for the last 6 or 7 years with WrestleMania. The IC title just never gets defended. What, it got defended, what, last year in a fucking squash match?
Well, the problem behind it is that they always end up putting the Intercontinental Champion in the Money in the Bank, except this time it's... Drew's not even in that, is he?
No, he's in the Money in the Bank.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet, and if it's going to take place, then I'm sorry for bitching, but... You know, where is my MVP versus Miz match at Mania? Because, god damn it, that would be awesome.
Well, I think that there's probably going to be a couple of matches announced this week. Maybe one tomorrow, maybe one Friday night it's going to take place. You never know. They're going to be adding a couple of things.
They seem to more or less have forgotten about, well, no, MVP did get Money in the Bank now that I remember it, but I mean, otherwise, that whole feud just kind of fell apart.
Yeah. Omega, you have anything to add to that, any of this?
Aside from the Intercontinental title getting screwed, not really.
Okay.
Well, that used to be some of my favorite matches.
Oh, well. Well, moving on, looking at a couple of other things. The match at WrestleMania, CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio, next Sunday has an added stipulation now. If Mysterio loses, he must join Punk's Straight Edge Society. Originally, they were talking about hair versus mask, but they let that go.
Jeez, what the hell? What the hell is Ray going to do without his internet painkillers?
Good, buddy.
It's not like CM Punk wouldn't shave his head anyway.
Well, I could see it happening. I would not discount the possibility of that taking place.
I think, though...
Okay, looking at SmackDown, the promo with Rey Mysterio on SmackDown, is anyone else wondering if Dominik really is Eddie's kid?
Looking at the two of them, the only thing that would throw me off is Dominik's size. He's, what, 14 now, and he's already 5 inches taller than his old man?
Yeah, it threw me off a little bit.
So
yeah, I had to do a triple take before I realized it was actually Dominik. Holy shit, where did he get the growth hormones from? Chris Benoit?
Yep. So if they have a match for Aaliyah, then it would be Aaliyah on a pole match, and they could use Dominik for the pole now.
You know...
So that's just what a tailspin feels like.
I'm just saying.
You know, I hope they do make Ray join the Straight Edge Society.
What are they going to do, shave his mask?
He'd be a reluctant member of the Straight Edge Society.
Right, but I think... I with all the shit that Ray's gone through with the steroids after the Benoit death and all of that... I think it might be a decent angle for now. Because you could have... Trying to remember who it was in RTC back in the day who was a huge babyface when they got forced to join and was kind of still a babyface in it and then... pretty much just destroyed Right to Censor.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to remember who it was, and I can't remember. I think it might have been either the Dudleys or the... wasn't the Godfather.
No, Godfather and Val were actually pretty loyal to the faction.
Right. It was... I don't remember who it was, but they were... it was the... Mav's telling me it was the Dudleys.
So what's your trivia?
They pretty much just destroyed Right to Censor. And I think that's what they could do with Ray, which would be great, because Ray's style and CM Punk's style work very well together, and those two could put on some great matches at some of the undercard pay-per-views coming up after Mania.
Yeah.
God, nobody wants to talk wrestling tonight.
No, I'm reading over the Right to Censor article.
This coming from the man who started with Fuck Kansas.
Fuck Kansas! Don't get me started on that again!
There you go, Fuck Kansas. So, let's not get him started. I say we take our next time out of the night. Let's come back and we'll go through some quick hits. Everybody listen to PR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
The biggest night in sports entertainment comes to an end. WrestleTalk Radio will be there to catch you up on all the unthinkable.
X-Factor, we have a new champion! We have a new champion! Wait a minute! No! What the hell?
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
welcome back. Wild Talk, the Wrestle Talk Radio, Ryan here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for sticking in and holding on as long as you can. Right now, guys, what the hell? It's time for Quick Cuts. Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
All right, here we go. Some quick questions to ask the panel. Once again, everybody, if you got any quick hits you want them answered, just email your quick hits questions to admin@wildtalkradio.com. We'll get to it. We'll put them on the air, and we'll ask the guys. You can even specify who you want the question asked to. Yeah, awesome. But to start things off, we'll kick it off with Will. What's the one thing you enjoy most about WrestleMania each year?
It's normally the best time of the year for the WWE, and they go all out, and you can at least expect one real great solid match out of every WrestleMania.
Okay. Spuck! What do you think was the worst match in WrestleMania history?
Unmute your mic.
Worst match in WrestleMania history.
He said after unmuting his mic.
No, my mic was unmuted. I just had the fucking microphone way up on my head. worst match in WrestleMania history, I would have to say, was the King Kong Bundy match with the midgets. I can't remember. I think it was WrestleMania 3 or 4, but there was King Kong Bundy, and he had his own little midget, and then I want to say it was like George the Animal Steel or something, and he had his own little midget.
Yeah.
And I just, like, while midgets are great, I don't know. That to me was, it was a crap match anyway.
Midget overdose.
It was a crap match anyway.
Moving on, Omega.
I'm just shocked that Spug has said that he didn't enjoy something with midgets in it.
Yeah, that's a kind of a freaky thing. Omega, what match should open up WrestleMania this year?
Oh, that's a good one. If I can remember all the matches, hang on. See, it always has to be something really exciting. It's been the Money in the Bank lately, but I probably wouldn't do it. I probably started with CM Punk and Mysterio, just because they have enough in them to put on a really high paced match to get the crowd going nice and early.
Yeah, that could be a very hot opener to wrestling this year. I wouldn't be too surprised if that's exactly what they do. Moving on, next question, Mace. What would you say is the most overlooked...
What's the question you got for me this time?
Yeah, here it is. What would you say is the most overlooked aspect of a wrestling TV show?
The most overlooked aspect of a wrestling TV show?
Nah, crap, you stumped him.
No, I'm just... I'd say crowd interaction during matches. Like, TNA gave us a few good little spots tonight, especially when the crowd was having a go at Morgan, and Morgan, before doing the big chokeslam to, I think it was James Storm, actually turned around and had a yell at the crowd. WWE don't do it at all these days. They rarely acknowledge the crowd unless they're chanting something so loud they can't get their point across during a promo. Just the art of crowd interaction in general.
You know, your crowd is going to make your show look so much better on television if they're happy with the product. And to make them happy, interact with them.
Yeah, I think WWE higher-ups gave some kind of mandate a couple years ago, as little crowd interaction as possible, and ignore the cam unless it's part of what you're supposed to be doing.
I wouldn't have a clue. I'm not a WWE higher-up.
That's kind of strange. Totally strange. Back up to Will. How far do you think you could go if you were a contestant on Dancing with the Stars?
Not even 5 seconds.
Doesn't he have to be famous first?
You got a point. So you don't have much faith in your dancing ability or getting famous first?
No, I can't dance.
Okay, good enough.
I mean, I can cabbage patch, but that's about it.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think we're looking for that. Spud, if there was a book written about your life, what would the title be?
Fuck, man.
1001 Ways to Condemn Your Soul to Hell. Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to hell when I die. They've got my spot reserved.
Well, you know, if hell doesn't exist, they'll probably create it just so you have a place to go for the in the afterlife. Who knows?
Oh.
Listen,
it's bad. If the one title I wanted to use wasn't already taken, I'd use that.
Ah, okay. Well, hey, Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday midnight saw spring all over the Northern Hemisphere, which means it must now be fall in Australia. That being said, what's your favorite springtime activity?
It's the first day where my pool is in the temperature of the ice water in the refrigerator.
Ah, okay. So your favorite springtime activity is swimming?
It's the first dip in the pool of the year. It's just because, you know, it's sadly enough, it's the one little bit of exercise I get that I actually enjoy doing. So it's nice going all winter without it. Then all of a sudden, oh, it's just warming up. I'm going in.
There you go. Splish splash, taking a bath. Long about a springtime evening or something. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, Mace.
Mm-hmm.
What's been the best musical act to ever perform at WrestleMania?
Best musical act to ever perform, I'm assuming at WrestleMania, because I've been having audio problems all night.
What's been the best musical act to ever perform at a WrestleMania?
I'm going to go the easy way on this one and say Motorhead, because Lemmy, even though he's a drunken fool who doesn't fucking remember half the words to his own songs, he's still God.
Lemmy. Awesome. And there you go. That's quick hits for this edition of the program, everybody. Woohoo! One last thing to do tonight, guys. The 2-minute rant. Whose turn is it this evening? Will?
I've got nothing.
Mace?
I did it last week. Can we give it story time with Spug?
Spug?
Sure. So, we went out drinking last night over to a friend's house. And
okay.
I had to work, so I actually got off at a decent hour last night. I got off about 9:30. I head over to my buddy's house, and I get over there, and everybody, including my wife, is about 5 shots in, because it was our post St. Patty's Day, St. Patty's Day, since just about everybody had to work. Everybody's about 5 shots in. We're all wearing our kilts. We're all chilling out, all having a really good time. And
our one friend Donnie brings his girlfriend over. They've been dating about a month. Really not a good idea to bring someone new to the group when we're drinking. Just not.
Yeah.
So, one of the drunkards who was there, I can't remember if it was my buddy Pat or my buddy Steve, says, let's do body shots off the new chick. Women first. This is a great idea. It works smashingly. And then our friend Ben and his wife Adrian are there. And Adrian is not what you would call the prettiest woman to ever walk the earth. She's got big walleyes and big thick Coke bottle glasses and a rat trap for a mouth. I mean, she's just ugly. I'm sorry. She's such a sweet girl, but she's ugly as sin.
Uh-huh.
And so it's her turn. And the new girl goes, aw, that's cute. The retarded girl wants to do the body shots, too.
Oh.
She didn't. She did. So.
Wow.
The majority of us are caught with a look of fear and hilarity on our face as we try to laugh. And, you know, try to defend Adrian at the same breath. Ben's wife, Adrian, and Ben. Ben has a temper. He's got a Napoleon complex. We call him the world's tallest midget for a reason. He is literally 1 inch over legal height for a midget. And so he gets a temper and tries to defend her. And Ben is no good looker either. And Don is like 6 foot and 190 pounds. And it's just cut.
Uh-huh.
And so he gets up in Don's face about his girlfriend. I have never seen midget tossing except on the internet. And last night I got to see it live. I watched Donnie, my buddy Don, not Havoc, but we call Don Donnie as well, pick Ben up by the scruff of his shirt and the belt loop of his pants, lift him up off the ground, use his head as a battering ram to open up the back door, and chuck him off the deck into a pile of dirt. I literally pissed my pants last night. I laughed so hard. I had a beer in my hand, in one hand, and a cigarette in the other, fell off the deck, standing there laughing at Ben, wallow around in the dirt, because he couldn't get his fat ass up. And those two bicker and forth back at each other. And I fell off the deck, spilled my goddamn beer, and pissed my pants laughing at this. And, of course, Big Steve has to come in and try and clean the mess up and get everybody to calm down. And then Ben got the smart idea that he was going to go hit Don.
Uh-oh.
It gets even better at this point. Ben hits Don. Don hits Ben. Ben hits Don again. Don literally picks up one leg, boots Ben in the chest, knocks him down, and starts slapping him in the face on the ground, screaming, I'm going to make you my little seal, bitch. And everybody goes, what, Don? Seal? And you see Don ball up a fist. He goes, because I'm going to club him like one. And just starts wailing away on him. At this point, the cops show up. So we're all out there, and we're all over 21, so it's not a big deal. But the cops show up, and they want to arrest Ben and Don. And we're like, look, they're drunk, we'll put them in separate rooms, we'll calm it down, you know, we'll keep it down, everything. The cop goes, what started this? And we had to explain to the cop that the new girl in the group called the one guy's wife retarded because she thought she looked that way and was trying to be nice. The cop took one look at Adrian and goes, "Wait, she isn't retarded?"
Oh, no.
And,
oh, damn.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. Long way to get to the total punchline of the story, but you have to... Like, at this point, again, everybody is dying laughing, and Ben's trying to run outside because he heard the cop say it, too. And we're like, "Ben, he just shoots you. Go away." And, oh, finally got everything calmed down and everybody in separate rooms. And so, to be mean, I went over to my buddy Steve's dad's house. And my buddy Steve's dad does construction from time to time, and got his hard hat, which is blue, and took it over to Adrian, and I said, "If you're gonna look the part, you might as well use this too."
It's like he'll make said every good Spug story ends with, and then the cops show up.
I tell you what, I'm every time we get together and get drinking, there is, it's undoubtedly at one point the cops are going to show up. It just, it inevitably happens.
Damn.
Thank God nobody's gotten arrested.
Yet. That's the operative word right
yet.
Here. So there it is. You know, that's time to say goodnight to everybody now. Not exactly one of our longer shows, but that's perfectly okay.
It is. I have to work in the morning.
Yeah, I'm happy with this.
Yeah, I got to get the heck out of here because I have a lot of work to do to get my season started. And once again, everybody, make sure you click the Mania Madness banner right just,
yes!
You know, right above the top here. And we are going to be going through all of that. I mean, what are we in the third round of voting now?
Yes, this week is the Elite Eight. Next weekend, Final Four, Mania weekend, buddy.
There you go. Next weekend, Final Four. It's Mania weekend. Don't forget next Saturday night. It's WrestleTalk Radio special event.
By the way, I want to have, we need to get Alan Wojcik on for that.
Yeah, I've already invited him, and he said, yeah, if he has the opportunity to, he'll definitely show up. I'll remind him on Tuesday.
Yes, I like him. I like him a lot.
He's still not going to sleep with you.
You know, I'll promise him a reach around and a cuddle afterward.
Well, then he might go for it as long as his wife's not around. You might have to send the girls out. I don't know. But he might
right.
go for it. Yeah. So.
Right.
Yum, man. Anyway, that being said, yeah, next Saturday night, I do believe that we're going to be on at a special time of 10 o'clock Eastern, or is that, 10 o'clock Eastern time Saturday. We'll be on right before CB Radio. And we are actually going to preview WrestleMania. That's right. And, of course, WrestleMania Sunday, vote along in real time. And you can make your voice heard. We're looking for the best WrestleMania match of all time.
Yep.
Yep.
Cannot wait.
So, it's going to be a lot of fun. That being said, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock Eastern is OWW Radio, followed by OTL, Talk to Talk. But don't forget that Ring of the Ropes just might wind up with a special call-in. Or two, again, this Friday night.
Or
everybody
five.
Or five. There you go. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and really appreciate it. Have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Saturday night for a special edition of WTR. Well, I guess it'll be WTR Saturday night right here. Russ Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye!
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.